that too much volume, or is it the phone?
I think we got it now.
As we get ready for this proposal today, I think I might, for the purpose, I believe the meeting is televised today, and it may be the first one that was televised, so if people are tracking it, we might just place this in the context of why this group was called together. We have had a proposal for some time for a rather major renovation of the Capitol. The cost was about $260 million. And as proposed, there was a difference of opinion between the House and the Senate on whether to move forward. I think the Senate was generally supportive, and the House was concerned about a number of things. One, the cost and what we were doing to a historic building. The issue of whether we should sort of take the building apart and put it back together, and in doing that, move the front of the Capitol out to find some space and to use that was perhaps an issue of some concern. For a number of us, seeing the needs all around the state gave us pause about committing to a project like this. What I think we were very clear about at the beginning, there was one point of clear agreement, and that is it is a building that we have an obligation to restore and protect the integrity of it. Certainly that would be roof repair. Certainly it would be damage in the building. Certainly it would be safe heating and air conditioning systems. That had broad agreement. It is a building we have some commitment to, but how we deal with that is one that perhaps we had no agreement about. In the State Department bill last year, this working group was established and then appointed and funded for the purpose of bringing us together in with facilitation to try to bridge this. We have met a few times now. At the end of the last meeting, we did some small group work, and there seemed to be, out of those small groups, some consensus of trying to put a price tag on what external vaults only would be. And here, we probably need to take it up from the Department of Administration, but my understanding is there was some consideration of that to move ahead in that direction. And then the Department of Administration called a meeting of the two chairs and said instead they wanted to propose a new approach, which was a phased approach, and that's the issue before us. And it looks as though the gentleman at the table is going to perhaps give the presentation for the Department of Administration. So welcome. And
thank you, Representative Housman. My name is Dave Fielding. I'm the Director of Plant Management in the Department of Administration. And with me this morning in making this presentation are two individuals who were with us at the October 1st meeting. To my right, your left, is Michael Bjornberg. Michael is a Vice President with Hamel, Green, and Abertson. And to my left, your right, is Terry Sullivan, Vice President with Schooley Caldwell Associates. Both HGA and Schooley Caldwell have partnered to work on this capital project, and they will be assisting me in the presentation this morning. To get us started, if I may, as Representative Housman outlined, following the meeting on October 1st, we were asked to take a look at a new approach. We refer to it here as a Phase 1 mechanical vault solution, with the objective of trying to provide new underground mechanical vaults to tie into the existing systems in the Capitol building. More importantly, the objectives that we were asked to consider in pursuing that are listed here. First, we wanted to try to find a way to begin this project in a more affordable manner, a lower cost. However, we also wanted to be sure that whatever money we invested was money that produced immediate value, we needed to, as we discussed in the last presentation, we need to address the security issues here on the Capitol campus and specifically at the Capitol building. We talked about the current state of the mechanical systems in the Capitol and the need to improve the reliability of those systems. We also want to be sure that whatever work we do is consistent with the long-term maintenance strategy for the building. We need to find a way to begin to address the deterioration of that building. We want to also try to find ways to address energy efficiency. In doing everything in this list of work, we want to ensure sustainability wherever we can. And finally, whatever work we do under this current phase, phase one, we want to be sure that it minimizes the disruption to the building, to our visitors, and to its occupants. And so what we'll be focusing on here this morning will be the details of what we learned in that investigation. And I'm happy to report that I think we have found a very creative solution, one that, as you'll see when we wrap this up, achieves all of the objectives that you asked us to consider. And then we'll touch on the additional phases in the project. So to begin, let's discuss and talk about the things that we found that we can do. And for that, I'll refer to Michael and Terry.
As we looked at the building and what systems we could put in place, we particularly looked at what we could provide initial value for. So in some cases, so we wouldn't build something that wouldn't have value for 6 years down the road. So you could look at that and go, did I make this decision versus this decision for funding in the state? This provides immediate value. Okay, it made sense to do it. One of those we looked at was security. How could we provide security around the Capitol building in the initial phase? We looked at standoff zones. We looked at the fresh air supplies, which I've told you about before, and we can refer to that in detail later, and also deliveries to the Capitol. So those are some of the things we'll address in detail as we go on.
We want to take an inventory of the existing mechanical equipment. We want to take a look at what you have now, and we want to make sure that we get working at least for the next 6 or 7 years. It's sort of like an old car. I mean, if we're going to replace it somewhere down in the future, we may want to just do what you have to do to keep it going, and in some cases we may have to provide new equipment, maybe at a lower cost, just until we put the final system in. A higher voltage switchgear. There's been a lot of voltage or electrical work done in those new vaults, but it's at a lower voltage, and I'll talk about that in a minute, why it needs to be at a higher voltage. The new fire pump we're going to provide. The old one is in a pretty inaccessible area, and it may not be big enough for the new system, but we can connect the new fire pump into the existing system. New heating and chilled water pumps. They'll be much more efficient, and they will also be connected back into the system at this higher voltage, much more efficient. Telecom front-end equipment, telecom equipment is constantly changing, so we need to get the infrastructure ready. We get a new IT room, racks, air conditioning, get the emergency power and the UPS all ready to go.
The next two items are ones I've mentioned before, where water infiltration is the number one enemy of old buildings. And this building certainly has significant water infiltration. So one of the things we're proposing in this one is to do a new roof on the building, prevent the water from coming in from the outside, and also to look at humidity mitigation in the rotunda. What we found is there are days where there is a cloud of humidity up on that third floor and up in the rotunda area that's also destroying the murals and the ceiling from the inside. So we have water issues coming in from the inside and outside. We want to address that in this case.
But then we want to talk about what we can't do at this point. We've been talking a lot about the mechanicals. And what we want to do is we want to get ready for the new air system. But we can't connect the new air system into the existing ductwork because it has to be so much higher velocity and you need stronger ductwork. And if you could take a quick look at the next slide, you also have, if you can't look at see this, we've given you a PowerPoint presentation. But what you have is the top is what we currently have, and it's called a low-velocity, constant-volume system. So essentially, even if the system is working properly, that air goes out, and that same air goes to all these different areas. So the person that can only be comfortable would be the one that has the thermostat. And in the proposed system, we would put a much larger air handler in the vaults and come in with much stronger ductwork. And you can see that each one of these spaces would have its own thermostat and be much, much more comfortable and much more efficient, because when these spaces aren't used, we can turn those off, and then that fan back in the vault would automatically wind down and be much more efficient.
Terry, I think it's important to point out on the current situation at the top of that slide, many of the zones in the Capitol building are spread across multiple floors. For example, in the case of the southwest quadrant, pardon me, we have an air handling unit, S11, which controls three separate floors. So we're dealing with people that are occupying space, in some cases that are down in the basement of the building with no outside windows, and folks that are up on the first floor in the governor's suite, the reception room, the governor's office, and so on, that have windows. Temperature swings created by the sun, by winter temperatures, lead to phone calls to plant management to kick the temperature up. It's getting cold in here, for example, in the winter. Well, when we do that, we drive the temperature up by definition then for the folks that are down in the basement and the ground level. And that inability to maintain individual space temperature control is a real problem for us. It has a solution, but that solution, which is the lower part of the slide, can only come about when we're allowed to come into the building, move folks out, and come in and make a major rework of the space in order to install the variable air volume boxes, the additional thermostats, larger ducts, etc.
Can you go back to
yeah.
the previous slide? I'll talk a little bit about the electrical upgrade. Like I said, there's been a fairly big electrical upgrade in the last few years. That voltage is 12208. And what that means is it's just a much lower voltage that handles a lot of incandescent lighting. And in the new renovation, we will put in much more efficient lighting that takes a higher voltage, 277. But I want to make sure that you understand that, you know, the kind of lighting that we propose will be appropriate for 1905 building. It will look like it's appropriate. But it needs to be at a higher voltage. And all these motors that we will put in over the next year will be at this higher voltage. And at a higher voltage, what you do is you have less heat and less waste. So if you want to run all of the bigger motors like elevators and pumps and fans at this higher voltage. And we can't connect that higher voltage into the Capitol and go into the existing panel boards because those are at the lower voltage. We also need the lower voltage as well to run some incandescent lighting in computers.
With that in mind, knowing what we feel we can do in this first phase and recognizing the constraints of what we cannot do at this time, we tried to fashion a strategy which is really contained in the trifold handout that we've given you, and we'll be referring to this as we go along, that's built on three consistent, what we refer to as building blocks. Across each of these phases, we have grouped work in the A's, the B's, and the C's. The A's referring to access, security, and life safety related work. The B work is the upgrade of all of the building related systems. And finally, C for conservation efforts. And what we're going to talk about now and go a little deep on is this phase one, and talk about the issues and the upgrades that will take place as a part of this first phase. We've characterized this first phase really as triage. We've got a building that needs to be stabilized. We've got to address vulnerabilities that we have in terms of access and in terms of security. And so in those three building blocks in phase one, the priorities as listed are to deal with the highest priority vulnerabilities, to stabilize existing building systems and prepare for the implementation of future system upgrades in later phases, and finally to control the deterioration of the building through, as Michael pointed out, a new roof, the mitigation of humidity in the dome, some site restoration in the exterior plazas. If you look at the black and gray depiction on that same screen, you'll see that the work is concentrated on the north side of the Capitol in two vaults, and then work on the south side of the Capitol. We refer to it as the South Stairs. Just briefly, the construction timeline, and we'll get into more detail as we go, of that is roughly a two-year project, and the preliminary cost estimate as shown is just a little under $64 million. To get into the details now, Michael will take us through a little better graphic of this north vault and south stair work.
We'll refer to this board over here. We're going to get into detail inside these areas on the next slide, but I want to give you an idea on the site-wide what we're doing. The north vault area, north of the Capitol building, we put in the vaults, outfit them, and then set it up for the air handling units that would come in later. But we also restored the site to what it was originally. There's a temporary parking now. That goes away. What that gives us is secure fresh air in the sense we don't have vehicles parking at it anymore. We've looked at long-term fresh air intake. Long-term fresh air intake should come from the roof, should come from high up. In order to begin to do that now, we need to disrupt tenants. So that's the long-term solution. Short-term, we keep cars away from that area. Then this is restored, and it's set in place, and it's good to go. Then as we move down, we also look at security for the building and stand-up. We end up with stand-up area on the north side, but we still didn't have it on the south side. We move Aurora Avenue and relocate it down here. We get that. And we look at an area under the south stair. The south stair profile remains historically intact. We don't move the stair. We don't change the stair. We pull the stone up and put it back as it was and capture found space underneath. That gives us accessible entries in there, and we'll look at that in greater detail. But what it also accomplishes is the site work on the south side of the Capitol. The future vaults for the south are happening here, and those happen with those wings as they go along. But then what we do end up with is the whole site around the Capitol is essentially in place, and we've got our stand-up zone and security for the Capitol. We also get better fresh air and day security on those ends. So, and then inside, I'll get into detail on that later, what we provide there. We've looked at the LRT route. It's having an impact, and we can talk about that as we go along. It's had a significant impact on the north side of the Capitol building. And we've also looked at where the future tunnel comes in and when that might happen. And that seems to be happening best when we do the south vault and do all that construction at once. That would then be contained in this area. It would not impact the work we've already done, which is another thing we look at is what could we do as we went along and not come back and have reverse previous construction.
Michael's just referred to light rail, and I know this is very difficult to see, but it's a big area. And this is a very recent depiction that we have received from the Met Council, who is in the process of preliminary engineering on the Central Corridor light rail. And for those that aren't already aware, the plan for LRT has three stops on the Capitol campus. The first stop will be located on the south side of University Avenue, adjacent to Leif Erickson Park. It's referred to on this picture as the Capitol Station. It will proceed then to the east down University, take a right at Robert, and come down to the Robert Street Station, which will be opposite the Freeman, Stassen, and 14th Street ramp. It will then proceed on. It will turn at the lab building running along the, I'll refer to it as the north side of 12th Street, and then center running will turn on Cedar Avenue and have a 10th Street station down directly opposite the Anderson building. It's important to understand from this depiction that that light rail, which is the track placement, which is in the purple color, will be running along University tight to the south side of the street, which then precludes any ability to access the Capitol site from University, which was a plan in some of the earlier versions. We have solutions for this, and we're working closely with the Met Council and their engineers to implement those. But we felt it was important for you to be grounded in the progress of the design of this and the impact that light rail will have on our design.
I wonder if we probably, just to get this presentation on, if you just make a note of questions. I'm afraid if we keep breaking in, we might take too long. So if members wouldn't mind, just make notes of your questions.
All right.
Michael talked about the vaults. Let me walk you through the vaults. This first one is the northeast vault. Starting from the left, that gray area, that's actually the existing electrical vault. And this is where we would be upgrading to the new 480, as well as keeping the 120-208 in there. The next segment would be for the air handlers, the new high-pressure VAV, variable air volume, air handlers that would come in the next phase, and then these different pumps and heat exchangers. All of that equipment would be tied into the existing system in phase one. And then on over, you will see just different chops. And then we thought this would be a good opportunity for sustainable measures in catching rainwater and use it for either, it could be used for either plumbing or irrigation. The next vault is the northwest, similar where we would have a lot of groundskeeping and that sort of dock operation. And the recycled water storage we made, until we get into the calculations, we'll have to see how much storage we need for the irrigation. We may need systems from there as well. And then the next one is where the domestic water pumps and the new fire pump would go. And then, of course, then on over to the right, then the future high-pressure VAV systems for that sort of that side of the building as well.
And I'd like to call your attention also to the tan area, which is part of the building block of security and access. You'll see that red arrow from the left. That represents access from MLK to an underground receiving dock and secure drop-off. Because we are precluded from accessing the building at all from university, this is the only practical way to get to the building. And there may also be similar designs in the southwest vault when constructed. But really, access under the building from the street will be limited to MLK in the future.
Michael. I'm going to look at the area underneath the main stair entrance, get to that a little bit more detail. So this board is a blow-up of the area here in red. The south stair comes down here. Existing Aurora Avenue cuts off the top right about here. That's realigned down below. There's a small set of stairs below Aurora Avenue now. Those get extended. And then we have accessible on-grade entrances that come in, similar to what we've shown prior. We look at lobby, and then we look at restrooms for visitors who come in. One of the changes we've looked at is taking the visitor tunnel, and this was in discussions with security, moving it down into an area closer to the lobby. So these would be the connections over here to state office building, judicial building down there. And then we have the secure inner corridor. So what happens in the initial phase is the part that they're covered. We have a lobby, public lobby space, retail space, visitor access. We have some classrooms. We have some historical society offices. We have restrooms for the public off of that main lobby area. We have code rooms. We have additional restrooms inside that would be a secured area. And then the new entry vault becomes part of what is the existing porte cochere area. So in this phase, we get security, we get accessible entrance, and we get visitor accommodation. And then you move into the building through the existing porch here. These are the areas underneath here is where the south vaults are for mechanical that go with each wing. And then this would be, as we've looked at, whatever the tenant space, the opportunity for tenant space above that to be developed later. Okay.
All right, those are the elements of phase one. And what I'm going to show you now quickly is what the logic is and the timing and cost would be for the subsequent phases. All of what we do under phase one is preparation for the ability to move through in phases two through four in addressing code requirements, ADA requirement, upgrading of all the systems and services, and finally the full restoration of the building. Phase two, as proposed, would begin on the east, and that's the light gray area that you see. That consists of the east wing, Supreme Court wing, and the southeast vault, and all of the equipment that would be associated and required by the east wing upgrade. We would restore the east wing. We would restore the stone associated with that wing. We would replace windows in that wing. And we would have the full and final restoration of the landscaping. All of the southeast mechanical vault, as we said, would include all of the required equipment to support that east wing. It would stand on its own. We would be able to provide new rooftop fresh air shafts. This would be partial, meaning that it would only relate to the east wing work at that time. But as you'll see in subsequent phases, that then moves up to the roof for each of the remaining phases. Sprinkler system upgrades, underground utilities. A full and complete solution to the building block requirements of phase two. The construction timeline on that phase is another 2 years, from 2011 through 2013, with a preliminary cost estimate of $89.8 million. Phase three then moves to the west. It's a mirror image in terms of the scope of what we just described for phase two. Another 2 years, from 2013 to 2015, $86.2 million. And finally, phase four, the final phase, would be the north wing and the rotunda. Again, another 2 years, from 2015 through 2017, with a cost estimate of $68 million. Michael?
This is the schedule of the different phases. As we've looked at it and looked at the bonding cycle, the prior project had two bonding requests, 130 and 130. This has broken it up into four bonding requests by the phases that we've noted. So the first phase request for this coming session for the $63 million would include design documentation for the entire building. So we make sure the decisions that are made early on are well thought through. Construction documentation for phase one. It also includes pre-design and then any design work for a swing space for the construction of the future phases. The swing space would need to be in place before you could begin work on the Capitol. So that would already go into planning with this. Then 2009 follows up whatever that swing space decision is, the request to move that in place. And then follows every 2 years by phase. So a session is in place, bonding is allocated, the documentation is completed for that cycle, the bids are brought in, and then construction begins on that cycle. And then it continues through 2017.
Michael touched on a point which I failed to mention back on phase one. Phase one and the cost of phase one, as shown, provides for a swing space decision and design. But those dollars do not include the cost of that construction, if there is construction associated with the swing space, because obviously we don't know what the decision is at this point in time. So swing space is an important requirement in order to be able to proceed into phase two and beyond. We have included dollars in the phase one cost to help make that decision and design the solution. But as you saw on the chart there, in 2009, we would be seeking funding in order to be able to construct that swing space solution. So as a summary, going back to the original slide, we were given a series of objectives to consider. And in the presentation, I think we've covered these points, but let me try to recap. We were asked to reduce the overall cost of Phase 1, and we've done that. Phase 1, as previously described, was $130 million. We're down to $63.9 million for a new prescription. We were told and asked to maximize the value of Phase 1, and we, I believe, have done so because we have been able to address the highest priority needs in terms of security, in terms of access. All of the work that you saw in Phase 1 has immediate value, and it has lasting value. There is no rework that would be required in subsequent phases. We were asked to improve security and system reliability. We've done that. You've noted we eliminated the parking on the north side of the Capitol. We moved Aurora. We provided accessible entries on the south side into the Capitol. There are elevators in that lobby, and so on. We were asked to satisfy the long-term maintenance needs of the building. All of the upgrades that we talked about, switchgear and other mechanical systems, all are consistent with the overall system design and maintenance plans for those later phases. We were asked to address the deterioration of the building, and we have done it through the replacement of the roof, the mitigation of the humidity damage inside the rotunda dome. We were asked to achieve greater energy efficiency. We've done that through the provision of upgraded switchgear and the use of more efficient motors and controls for new equipment, and that would obviously continue in each of the subsequent phases. We were asked to find ways to address sustainability in this first phase. Through the elimination of the lots on the north side of the Capitol and through other work on the south side, we are increasing green space and reducing asphalt. In addition, we are reusing and restoring the south stairs, as Michael talked about, and we have the rainwater cisterns in that northwest or northeast vault, pardon me. And finally, we were asked to minimize the disruption to the building and to its occupants. And I think we can state without hesitation that there will be no relocations required for Phase 1, and there will be, throughout the construction phase, full access to the Capitol. And that represents our presentation. And so, Representative Hausman, we can turn it back to you and to the members of the committee for questions.
And Representative Loeffler has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I have a number of questions, but the first one that I was inspired to ask about is that you kind of briefly mentioned LRT, and those decisions obviously are going to be final after the next year. So it seems to me that we really need to spend some time talking about what the implications are of that. And you mentioned how we wouldn't have access on University. I assume that that means people can't be dropped off. I don't know if there's traffic that'll, you know, even be alongside the building there. But I wondered whether or not that has implications as well for the tunnel system that goes across the University into the administration building, into potential. There's been talk about additional buildings there and on that side of the campus, whether, you know, the Ford building and administration both have existing tunnels, whether they need upgrading, whether we need to, and locating the station on what is now the park space on the south side of University, what the connection is going to be there in terms of pedestrian, is it connected to the tunnel system, those sorts of things. I just thought at some point we need to really spend some time thinking about that. That was my original question. I have others, but I wondered if you wanted to take them as they came along.
And I don't know, are you in a position to respond? I mean, a lot of those are Met Council.
Yes, I am, Representative. Representative Loeffler, you've done an excellent job of summarizing the many issues which are bubbling up in our work with Met Council and their engineers almost on a daily basis. But we are very actively involved with them. We just had the most recent design meeting with them last week. And there will be, I'm sure, subsequent discussions with this committee, if necessary, certainly with the legislation on the final decisions. But this is a very complex subject, and one which I think we're having some very positive impacts on in the design. For example, when we started, the Rice Street station was located actually to the west of Rice Street on University. We felt it was important for us because this is going to be the primary stop for visitors to the Capitol, that it was important to bring that as close as we could to the Capitol campus, and bringing it to the east then of Rice Street accomplishes that. In addition, you've mentioned the tunnel systems and the impacts of light rail. There will be impacts. There is no question. In fact, the meeting last week indicates that the administration tunnel is in jeopardy with the design. But there are solutions, good solutions, associated with that. So rather than taking too much time here, let me just answer your question by saying that there is representation from administration, from the CAP board. HGA Michael has participated with us. When it is time and appropriate, we can come and give you a very detailed presentation of the current state of light rail design and future issues.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As just as a follow-up to that, I just wanted to say I think I'm still would like us to do a North Campus plan, which I think was Maury's original suggestion, and I think it's even more important for us to look at that now if the construction of LRT is going to really long-term influence accessibility from the north and our ability to connect any potential future buildings there. I know many of our visitors come from the north, and I think we need to just think about how that all works together.
I think you'll be very pleased by the presentation that we made to them last week, which does exactly that. It ensures that access to the north side of the university is convenient and consistent, not necessary. Because of the geometry of University Avenue and the grade issues that goes down to Robert Street, there's really no practical way to maintain tunnel transiting from the north to the south and back again. They're looking at having to cut the street to a degree that really would drive a tunnel to a depth that would be unacceptable. So we're going to have to find solutions with them, and we've already started that discussion with them to find ways to literally bridge University rather than to go under it.
For the questions
of Tim Alford. I was just going to say that I really think we need to think hard about that, because losing the tunnel, it does pose a whole bunch of potential opportunities. I mean, there have been discussions of additional buildings, and I assume that would then cut off the connection to the Ford building. Is that correct? That
no.
The tunnel would be at risk as well?
Representative Walker, that no. Ford would be would not be affected because everything is at grade, current grade there.
So we might be able to go through the Ford building and then to the east if we wanted to connect up any
there are,
the administration building.
There are certainly buildings. Options to the north of University from Ford. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that with light rail, the vision here is to provide this Capitol station stop at Leif Erickson Park and provide an entry into a visitor tunnel system, which Michael referred to on the board there, which would allow visitors coming in on LRT to go underground to connect to the Capitol, to the Judicial Center, and to the State Office Building, independent of the tunnel system that we use today.
Who bears the cost of those?
Well, those are all subject to discussion and negotiation. Wayne may have a view on how we're proceeding on that, but I don't have an answer for you this time.
Representative Walker, did you have further questions on another issue?
Well, I'll let others.
Well, I've got so far Rest, Carlson, Fredrickson, but I mean, if you have additional, I think it's probably easier to let every member pursue their questions, and then we move on to the next.
Well. Okay, we can do it that way. Thank you, Madam Chair. One of the concerns I had was that accessibility seems to kind of be phased in as well, and I'm wondering if there was any consideration of doing accessibility all in phase one rather than doing each. I mean, because, for example, making the house chamber accessible isn't, to me, doesn't look to me, at least naively perhaps, as a very big expenditure item, and whether there's some of those things that could be moved up.
I'm going to have to refer the representative. I'm going to have to refer that to Michael for comment.
When we looked at the objectives, one was minimizing disruption to existing building tenants, and there were a variety of issues on accessibility within the building. All the chambers, all three of them, are inaccessible right now. The restrooms are not adequately accessible. So we tried to look at how we could get into the building and provide the services we could in the entrance for accessibility, but then look at each of the pieces within the wings as they happen too. We had to look at the impacts of tenants and look at the impacts of fresh air and mechanical systems in there. We want to make sure that as we do that, we're able to implement the best solutions. And then the best ones that we can do are when we do vacate those areas and do the work.
And then with this spread over such a long period of time, with the mechanicals doing kind of as phases, do you anticipate changes in technology over that time that would, you know, make it hard to have kind of the state of the art in terms of reducing our energy footprint, you know, that sort of thing, with this sort of a long phase in? Because it sounds like part of we're going to kind of phase in the mechanicals as well. Is that correct?
Yes, I mean, the technology of the variable air volume system, I think, is here to stay. Now, you know, motors and controls may get upgraded, but we wouldn't be actually buying any of that equipment probably for another 5 or 6 years, and then subsequent 5 or 6 years after that. So that technology I don't see changing substantially over that period.
Representative Loeffler, you may recall on the slides that showed the vaults, those large air handling, the white spaces there, those represent preparation for but not installation of. So in other words, those pieces of equipment would go in as the later phases are built. And so to your point, we actually, to a degree, have an advantage by delaying the purchase and installation decision because technology will improve. And we'll be able to take full advantage of the latest state of the art as each of those next phases comes online.
And when we interviewed, I think 2 years ago, we talked about a 100-year solution. And the majority of that solution is getting the ductwork and all the infrastructure. And then, I mean, the air handlers aren't going to last 100 years. They'll have to be replaced. So as it's time to put new air handlers in, we'll get the most energy efficient at that time. The biggest cost and the biggest ramification of the building will be the infrastructure and the ductwork.
And Madam Chair, my last point was that, I mean, I think phasing it on some basis makes a lot of sense, and this gives us something to work to. If we go with this route, I really think we need to spend time and maybe even break into some small group discussion potentially on what would be the use of the space, because that's the one thing that this avoids is that master campus plan, which I still think this should not be looked at in isolation, but also just even in terms of the use of the south stairs plan. It makes a number of assumptions that I think we need to think about. For example, I think the coat room has some security issues. I think, you know, having a large open space in the center with, you know, hallways around it for our seniors, you know, this is going to be a lot more walking and just trying to figure out, you know, sort of what's the best use now that we've freed up this space, what should be on the main level versus what should be in, you know, upper levels. I think we haven't had that discussion yet, and I think we should at some point entertain that.
Senator Rest. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to follow up with additional security issues. Although I appreciate all the time and energy and imagination that's gone into this, I wonder, and in particular in maintaining the historical appearance of the outside of the building in what I call the front, the south stairs. I wonder if you would talk a little bit more about in detail about the security and at what point we are able to, I think that's, for me, that's becoming an even bigger issue, at what point we are, at the end of phase one, are we able to accomplish a lockdown of the building? Or at what point? Is it phase one, phase two? Where does that come? And if you go back over and you can address Representative Loeffler's issue there, she started talking about I understand the security issue of closing off the I call it the pass-through.
Port Fisher.
Yeah, exactly. And getting rid of the parking lot where the governor is and where the trucks come. But I wonder if you just go back through in detail all of the security measures for stuff coming into the building, et cetera, I feel more comfortable.
Well, and to do that, perhaps referring to this South Stair plan would be a good place to start. What we didn't show on the plan, but I think it's important to understand, is that the separation, the visitor tunnels, which we show here and here, all right, those are independent from the internal tunnel system that we have today. As folks come in from the south through these entryways, we have the capability here to install and staff security checkpoints, similar to what's done elsewhere. We haven't shown it here, but that's certainly the plan, to Representative Loeffler's point about coat rooms. We would never set anything up with lockers or the ability to leave things that is unattended. In other words, the presumption here is that there would be some form of security. But remember, this is a concept plan. This is not a design review, and we obviously have a great deal more work to do. But to your point about a lockdown, I think it's important to know that work is underway right now. We will have that capability within a matter of probably 60 days. All right? So that will be taken care of, but it will be enhanced substantially by the work that's shown here. To the point about secure entrance, this is this access that we talked about off of NLK, underground, secured, it might be staffed, it might be simply a mag card entry, but the point is that we will no longer have the situation that we have today here where trucks can come in freely off of Cedar into that dock or into the lot itself and back out onto the university. So I think separating visitors from employees, legislators, is an important step. Moving Aurora further south, which achieves the standoff requirements that the National Guard report requires for vehicles, eliminating parking on the north side of the Capitol, doing the same thing, and quite frankly, LRT, in whatever its final configuration, will be a form of security enhancement for the north side of the Capitol. So there's a lot in play here, and I'm very confident that when we get down to the level of detail, that we'll be able to answer any question that might come up on security.
In the presentation that you given to me a month or so ago, you mentioned that parking slot would be where the governor and the attorney general, assuming that both of those offices remain tenants of the building, would have parking, and that there would be an off-campus site where goods and supplies would be delivered down the street, so that no vehicle coming into this area. There would be no commercial. Any commercial vehicle would be suspect, because what would actually be bringing goods into the building and supplies would be state of Minnesota vehicles that would be transferring them. And I thought that was a very good security issue. On a more selfish side, however, where exactly would Senators park?
Well, I think the operating presumption at this point is that any displaced parking, whether it be Aurora or lots N and O, would be on the north side of the university, whether it's lot B or the administration ramp.
So that our employees, for the most part, park north of university, and then there would be accommodation for Senate members who currently park in the, on the south side of the building to park over there as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, and to Senator Rest's point about this remote drop-off for commercial deliveries, early on we realized that for both security reasons and also operational reasons, we needed to move to a strategy in the future of keeping the semis and the large deliveries off the campus completely. And so the plan is to develop procedure whereby those deliveries are made down at our facility at 321 Grove Street, which is just down beyond Regents Hospital, and then our material transfer drivers and vehicles would make the shuttle from that location up to the campus. So we would reduce the amount of commercial vehicle traffic substantially.
I wanted to add one thing on the new entrance too. The new entrance does not preclude ability to enter in the west side of the building or up the south stairs as you do now and into the building. That is still there as an option. It does provide all the visitor services down in the new accessible entrance. So it encourages the large groups to do that, but does not preclude anybody from entering the building as they do now in a fashion.
Senator
S.
The proposal that you have here is phased. What if we said, okay, our total budget for the whole thing is $63.9 million. That's all we're going to do. And what happens if we just did phase one and then there was no interest on the part of the governor or the legislature to continue until maybe 7 or 8 years from now when there would be a new legislature, presumably new administration of some sort or another, could a period of that many years pass, 5 or 6, 7 or 8, before a legislature looked at some type of phase two, even if it wasn't exactly what is in this particular vision? Or if we do phase one, are we committed to this vision, number one, and or do we really do, is it better to do nothing than to do this phase one in terms of the future, either architectural or operational or mechanical integrity of the building?
Senator Rest, I think it's safe to say that this phase one has been designed and fashioned in a way that ensures that it could stand alone. That's not to say that's what any of us really want, but all of the work has value, as we summarized at the end. It all has value. It's all necessary. It mitigates further deterioration of the roof. It deals with humidity in the dome. It upgrades mechanical systems to buy us some additional time. It upgrades the electrical service. It enhances accessibility. It does all the things that we outlined there. If there was an extended period of time between the completion of phase one and the start of a phase two, I believe that the only real issue there is going to be one of cost. I mean, you've got substantial more increase through inflation and cost of construction, but in terms of would we be better off not starting phase one if we can't go to phase four, I think we should be doing phase one.
And finally, how integral a part of this of phase one is the security stuff for the south stairs, getting rid of the passageway and moving the parking away from the building in the south. I mean, is it possible just to do the north vaults and not do the south stairs and have you make the same statements about if we don't do anything else, we could still do that?
Well, you could still do that. I don't believe that that addresses, you know, the objectives, which to a large degree the south stair work is the lion's share of how we address the issues of security and access. If the decision was that those are, you know, solutions that don't need to be found in phase one, then I suppose it could be reconfigured. But I believe that our issues relating to security and access for visitors to the building are so significant that I don't believe that it should be removed from phase one.
Thank you.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I want to go back to the LRT, and I realize that those are negotiations, discussions, I guess, not negotiations that you've had, but it appears to me that it comes awfully close to the capital on your drawings here, and so the first question I have is what grade level is that as it would pass the door of the capital on the university side? And one of the issues I have would be the noise level that might create in such close proximity. And maybe, Madam Chair, it's something that we should have as a future meeting, just have folks that are involved with planning for the LRT to come in and explain some of this. But at least to the knowledge that you have currently, what grade level, how close is that really to the Capitol? In your mind, are there other alternatives so that it wouldn't be right up, as it would appear to be on the drawing, literally against the Capitol?
Representative Carlson, when we started working with Met Council, they originally had the tracks running down the center of University Avenue, which then provided one traffic lane to the south and one to the north. So the eastbound traffic would be to the south, westbound to the north. What they realized in working through the details was that they couldn't make the turn at Robert Street with the tracks in the center because they had no really effective way of dealing with the signalization that would be required for the eastbound traffic that's in that south lane. So they wanted to bring that the rails then to the south side of the street and run both of the traffic lanes to the north side of the rails. Now, the proximity to the Capitol would put the right-of-way essentially at the curb line that exists there today, so it is very close. They have confirmed, however, that it would not in any way affect the foundation, the Rathskeller, or any of the architectural elements of the Capitol, but it would be close. Now, in terms of grade, they have a maximum grade that they can sustain of 6%, and in order to get to 6%, they have to cut University at the crown, which exists basically there at the north doors. They've got to cut that by a minimum of 4 feet. So the section that we saw when we went to the meeting last week showed the LRT depressed below current grade level of about 4 feet in a trench, for lack of a better term. But in the same drawing, they also showed that in so doing, they affected the administration tunnel because it is very close to the current University Avenue grade. So they have to do enough of a cut just to live within their 6% to where it affects the tunnel. The tunnel's got to be addressed, or there has to be a solution, whatever that right solution is. And so consequently, what we proposed to them, and they are looking at, and we'll get back with them as soon as they complete the analysis, is that they should consider starting at the intersection of MLK and University and take University down, basically cut it It might be by the time it got past the Capitol at the north doors, it might be 15 to 20 feet below current grade, which would then allow you to span.
What happens to pedestrians?
Well, that, and so therefore the solution would be you run vehicular traffic and light rail below a grade, and you have a spanning mall, if you will, across University Avenue that takes care of pedestrian traffic. Because, as I mentioned earlier, to go below light rail after they make the 4-foot cut would cause that tunnel to be so deep that you wouldn't be able to make it an accessible tunnel because it's such a short run. The slopes down and the slopes back up would be too steep. So, the answer to the question is, if at a 4-foot cut, it is problematic in terms of its visual impact. I think it's problematic in terms of its potential for noise. It's problematic in terms of pedestrian safety, quite frankly. When they showed us some of the details associated with the electrical catenary system, I think that's the worst of all worlds, and we've made that point very clear to them.
Well, just a comment, Madam Chair. There, years ago, were some plans, one of which was to drop University down and then cap it and make a mall area. So that's not a new issue, although at that time, LRT wasn't being talked about. It was the street itself. Then there was also at one time a plan for a half circle for University would be turned and would kind of go around the north end of the Capitol complex. I don't remember all the detail of that because it was so many years ago, but there have been, at least for auto traffic, a couple of plans that were talked about years ago, and I don't know what the relative costs of either one of those would be, and neither one of them ever moved forward, although where discussions relative to what we're talking about today are much more detailed than those earlier plans probably were at that point in time. But maybe it would be a good idea, Madam Chair, just as a suggestion, if time were available sometime before these decisions are ultimately made, would be to hear from the Metropolitan Council and those folks involved with the planning of the LRT to see what some of those alternatives are and what some of the cost factors would be.
I did. Senator Ferguson.
Madam Chair, I have some questions about security similar to Senator Ress. Within the last couple of weeks, I've had occasion to be in both the Iowa State Capitol and the Oklahoma State Capitol. And both of those Capitol buildings have screenings when you come in through, there's one entrance to the ground floor, and they have screenings similar to an airport where there are, you take everything out of your pockets, put your laptop on the belt, and it goes through an x-ray, and you walk through a personal screening area. When you talk about security and what we're planning to do here, you talk about we get security with the new entrance. What are you including in that? Is that just, at this point, an area where you could do screening, or are you including more permanent screening features in that? Part of my, the reason I asked the question is in both the capitals I recently visited, it was looked quite apparent that they were temporary screening devices put into place rather opportunely and hurriedly, and were not visually very aesthetically pleasing. And I was hoping perhaps this is more detailed than you are doing at this time. I hope that you would incorporate those into a plan that we would do with a little more planning, a little more aesthetics involved. I'm suggesting that, and I don't know if, at this point, is it that you're just providing space for that type of screening, or are you doing more detail?
Senator Ferguson, what we've looked at are in these two areas here, you could have a screening potential, and then there's an area also to store the equipment. So in times when you want to go through the screening, you could move it out and address that. Times when you didn't want to, you could move it back in. But it has been addressed in a design way and in a way that doesn't look like it was an afterthought.
Mr. Chair, that's one of the things I'd be very interested in seeing how this develops. My other question is, what are you planning to do with the south stairs of the Capitol? You know, at one point, we were talking about major excavation, hearing room or meeting room in that area. What are you envisioning with this plan?
This plan removes the stone on the south stair, and as you recall from the tours, there's a series of retaining walls, foundation walls underneath that stair. It clears that out, opens it up, expands space, similar to what happened on the north side with the Rathskeller kitchen. When you're done, the stair goes back in place as it was. There's no sense that anything happened. The profiles, the stair all remain the same, but you get space underneath the stair as a result.
Madam Chair, Michael, my question is how much space, and what is your interest? What would be your suggestion?
What we're suggesting
for using that space
is there's a space underneath that stair that has the volume of the stair, and then there's an additional level down below that we had, which we had originally before. But that's also temporary mechanical space, storage space, and as we look at future programs of what's in the building, provide this opportunity underneath that stair. It also would connect to the same level as the south walls that would go with these areas. And then what happens within this space that we show is unfinished would have to come out of programming efforts as well as the opportunities for tenant space here. We don't know. That wasn't part of this exercise to identify what those program pieces were. But as Representative Loeffler said, there's a whole series of discussions about who's in the building, who's not in the building, where are the pieces that go with it. It's an opportunity for a lot of different spaces. It's a quite large space. So.
Mr. So the initial excavation when you did this work, you would essentially just open up a very large space, probably as much as you could.
This is that
realistically provide
underneath what is the red square there. All of this other colored area is finished. This is unfinished, but it's a large shell, two-story space right there, and then there's another space underneath that's unfinished.
Justice Anderson.
I have questions in a couple of areas. I want to focus on a comment is that as I'm in this process, I'm reminded of the game that I used to play with my children at Chuck E. Cheese, where I think it's called Gopher, where you take the mallet and you get down one that keeps popping up, and that surely reminds me of this process. You think you got one thing nailed down and you got two or three popping up. So I'm going to focus on one that has popped up, and it's something that I wasn't focusing on early on in this, and it's something that's generally been referred to as the North Campus. That is, whether there would be any expansion to the north of the Capitol. You already have expansion to the north of the Capitol. And that really ties into phase one, as I see it, with respect to the LRT. And you referred to the geometry of University Avenue. Well, if you go out and stand on the curb, you know what the geometry is. You're standing on a hump. And you go to the east, you're lower, and then even at Rice, you're lower. And so a 6% grade takes you down 4 feet. If you design that LRT as the way it should be, it's probably the gradual incline up. I don't see how you can tunnel that. And so you have a real problem connecting to the north. And I've heard some discussion say, well, we can connect to the Capitol Station. I mean, if I'm in an administration building, is it going over to the Capitol Station to get a tunnel to get there? That doesn't work. I mean, you go this way and you go this way. And so is that now is where there's a symbiotic aspect of LRT, and you talked about bridging, talk about plaza mall. And I think you really have to focus on some type of a plaza or mall that connects. The representative said, well, that gets into real dollars. Well, you don't know. I'd like to find out what real dollars are involved in connecting the north face of the Capitol with the across University Avenue for the potential of a future North Campus. Because, I mean, even if you have a plaza, that might even be the way that you have above ground passageway or something. I don't see how you're going to have a tunnel. Doesn't seem to me to be a good idea if you're going to connect by tunnel or whatever. You go over to the LRT station, then you come back. People just don't do that. That's not the... But then that leaves you with some opening and some options as to whatever happens on the North Campus. And that leads into my second question, is that on phase two and three, you have space, but it's undesignated as how it's going to be used, and that's the, basically the south vault on the east and the west. Now, in the original plan, it showed that that was going to be Senate office space and some hearing rooms. My question is that at what point, say that the decision is made, no, it's better for the efficient running of the state of Minnesota you have a legislative office building north of University Avenue. And it says that that is the better spending of the money. What would be done with that space? Would you not do that space? Could you have phase one stand alone and not do that space? Then, of course, the question that comes to mind is the tunneling. I mean, part of the tunneling program is to be more direct and security, but also grade level is, can you have that tunneling without those south vaults on phases two and three? See how the...
Sure.
Some of the questions I have, that it kind of comes all together. I asked a lot, but you can see where it all kind of fits together.
Well, Justice Anderson, you've just summarized the things that we've been wrestling with now for weeks as both this project has unfolded as well as the LRT design unfolding. I mean, it is really a complex series of what-ifs, all of which we've got to try to manage through. And I think there are some very good solutions. Problem, one of the unknowns at this point, obviously, being cost. It comes as no surprise the folks, I think, that are doing the preliminary design are under some very strong direction to keep costs down and find ways to take cost out. And then they get to this particular point of the design of light rail, and they see that there may be costs creeping back in because of the impact and implications of light rail, but I'm sure that we can work through that. The North Campus is a resource of this state that has to be protected. We cannot allow light rail or any other adjustment on University Avenue to in any way negatively affect our ability to maximize the use of that space. And so that's why at our last meeting with them, we introduced, in fact, the plan. To Representative Carlson's point, the plan that he referred to that was many years old was, in fact, the plan that we showed them. There's, I believe, Paul Mandel from the CAP board can test, there's actually a 3D scale model of that solution in the CAP board offices. So it's been around. It's not a new idea, but light rail is certainly bringing it back to the point of discussion, and I think it will take a good deal more a review by a lot of folks to get to the final solution. But there is a solution, and that's the important thing to know, and we will continue to press for it. On the issue of what do you do with the vaults and the space if a decision is made to build an office in lieu of that, I think, Michael, you can chime in, but I believe it's safe to say that if that's the plan, then the design of the southwest and southeast vaults would be adjusted accordingly. And we would not build them in such a way that it would require the construction of space above the vault. It would simply be a vault. The tunnels, as we show them here, could be constructed independently. It would be efficient to do it as part of a larger vault, but it can be done as an independent solution.
I just one comment is that and I asked former Governor Cleese permission to quote him on this. He said that he was served on the board of the Lincoln Center, and is that serving on the board, they had some leakage in the roof, and even though he was a congressman, he said how long it took to get to Congress and get the roof fixed. He said he thought that when the initial problem occurred, you could probably fix it with a 5-gallon pail of tar and a couple of workers. By the time he was done, it was $14 million, and so he says that, you know, that he was in the building and seen some of the deterioration, and so I have his permission to say he urges us to take care of what we have.
And you know, I think for the House, that has been one of our questions. First, why don't we fix the leaky roof? Because we want to prevent any more damage. I mean, that is just, you know, that has been one of those ongoing questions. Were you finished?
Yes, I am.
Representative Holbert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have another number of questions. First of all, in adding up the price tag, my recollection is that we were at $260 million when we started. I now see we're at $307.9 million. And I'm wondering, can you tell me, I see lots of maybe to be decided, and then the $260 million we had all the space completed. So the way I'm looking at this, and correct me if I'm wrong, we show increased costs of nearly $50 million, and in the new plan, we don't have any finished space in the center under the steps, nor in what I'm assuming is the south vault or these squares. They're not drawn the same shape. So just for clarification, when it says south vault in the, on this thing, that's not for mechanicals, but it equates to the square. The rectangles on this board equate to the squares on that board.
They're Representative Holbert, they're not intended to be scale equivalents. It's just a concept there. The actual size of the vaults, as shown on that, extend beyond what's shown in that drawing.
This is accurate. This shows the vault size required for the mechanical system.
Okay. Madam Chair, now I'm even more confused. On the drawing here where it says south vault, are those for mechanicals or future expansion space?
This space right here is shown as what's required for mechanical system to serve both of these buildings. Those are two levels down. We've been asked to put the two levels down and provide the opportunity to be able to build on top of that. What we included in the estimate was that same footprint of finished space above. The prior footprints came out, I think, about this far. So it's about half the space on top of that now.
Okay, and Madam Chair, when you started your little description, you said these wings. Can you define these wings?
This south wall would serve this wing. This south wall serves the west wing. So east wing, west wing. And these north walls are also serving both parts. We have some equipment also on the roof.
And then if I might, for clarification purposes, then those vaults would be at a lower elevation than the shaded boxes on the drawing to the right.
Correct.
Okay, and so can you tell me in general terms what we would need to add onto the $310 million to finish those spaces similar to what was proposed in the $260 million plan?
Well, this, if I understand the question, this is about 16,000 square feet finished within that cost. And the prior one was about 32,000. So I have to do the math per square foot of what that would be. But yes, it would be to increase the size of this footprint would take more time. But
Representative Holbert, I think what may be confusing you is that while this says usable to be developed, the price includes development and finishing space. But as Michael pointed out, there's roughly half of that in this plan that there was in the plan that was previously shown. So we reduced the size.
There's no 500 square
of that. Mm-hmm. Now back to your earlier question about price creep. It's time. It's all about time. It's inflation. The inflation factor of phase four, I believe, is in excess of 50%.
It's 58.9%. So you have 58.9% escalation for that last phase. So as we've added phases and increased the timeline out, you can imagine if you took $60 million and multiplied it by an additional 60%, it costs more to get the same thing.
And if I might, just for clarification, I'm kind of hearing two separate things. In the $260 million plan, the unfinished space was included as a 500-seat hearing room after the Senate and the House used it during the remodels of their chambers. In the $307.9 million, what is included for the cost of finishing the unfinished space?
That is included in the 300 in the current one. It's in phase two, which gives you time to just sort out what is that space going to be.
That's part of the reason, Representative, that's part of the reason why the cost of phase two is higher than three and four, because there are some additional elements in phase two. The total of
this proposal includes finishing off that space, unfinished space,
as well as 16,000 square feet of tenant space here and another 16,000 square feet of tenant space there.
To restate what the point, though, that I think you're making is you're saying initially it was proposed at $260 million finished. Now we have four, and that was three phases. Now we have four phases at $308 million that really don't have all of those pieces in anymore. Is that the point?
I'm trying to figure it out.
Okay.
Because I don't...
Yeah, we had the same thing. Why does it cost more and you're building less? Because the factor of time. That's why we tried to pull some of the pieces forward, too, because the difference between 17% escalation and 60% is a fairly significant amount. It has essentially, compared to the other one, 32,000 square feet less finished space.
And so, Madam Chair, so in other words, this 32,000 to 16,000 is both sides, southeast and southwest.
16,000 each side. Total
each side.
Project, 32,000 square feet less. The other one provided that space, the size of that space was also what we needed for swing space within the Capitol building. That determined part of that. If you're not using it as swing space, which we're not by not building it ahead of them, then we just look at a footprint of what it might be. That 16,000 square foot could provide you three large hearing rooms on each side. Significant, rooms this size on each side of those rooms, that kind of thing. Or provide office space, provide a variety of functions.
And this is a kind of changing the subject, but as you went through your litany of we address this, we address this, we address this, I think there was one really glaring omission, and it was an issue in which we had extensive discussion, lots and lots of paper slips about the parking. And from what I heard is we lost parking spots on the north, we moved parking farther away on the south, and I don't see anywhere where you replace that. And the discussion about constituents coming, how the, you can't even find a place to park anywhere near. We built the Ag Health building and didn't put in more parking, and we have a crunch as it is on the campus. I mean, where in this, number one, how many spaces did we lose? And number two, what are any plans, ideas on how to address that?
Well, plans and ideas, we have a fact that will be coming forward in our capital request for next year is to undertake a comprehensive access study for the Capitol campus for just that subject. The issues, I mean, we've got obviously competing projects and issues here. The solutions will be a combination of things. I think I expressed in my answer that we have a ready solution and replacement space for space of what we eliminate on the north side of the Capitol and Aurora, on the north side of the university in Las B and the administration area. Improvements for public access in terms of parking will involve surface lots, but it will also have to involve things like mass transit, light rail. I think it's important, when we talk about light rail and its impact, one of the things that be aware of is the city, their consultants, and others are very actively looking at Sears site as a multi-use development as part of Central Corridor development strategy. And by definition, if that were to come to pass, we leased over 400 parking spaces in that lot today. So there are going to be further constraints placed on us. That's why we need a comprehensive study.
Madam Chair, it's my understanding that there is waiting lists for parking right now on this campus. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And so, I for one am really looking for, and the committee identified it as a major issue from day one as we met, that, I just can't see spending this amount of money for a capital renovation and still having constituents call and say, I'm driving around, where can I park? I have a meeting with you and I've been lapping the streets, four or five blocks away, and I still haven't been able to find a place to park. I think that if we're going to make this kind of investment in this building, this is the time to address this parking issue for the public, and I don't think waiting till next year to do some study, if you want money in a bonding bill for next year, I think we have to get a little more proactive than that.
Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When the House Capital Investment Committee heard the presentation, I think all of us gulped when we heard that the price tag was $260 million. And we asked, what about phasing? And we were told that it had to be two phases, couldn't do it in more. And what we have now is kind of a good news, bad news story. The good news is we can do it in four phases. The bad news is we're going to pay more to get less. And that is certainly understandable given the inflation factor going forward. But I've got a few other questions here. I'm unclear from the presentation as to when the existing distribution systems in the Capitol building now get dismantled. As I understand it, the new mechanical, the vaults, will still need to feed into existing systems, correct? I mean, you're not going to go in and tear out existing systems in the Capitol building itself now at this point. So my question is, at what point do you start dismantling or taking out the existing distribution systems in the Capitol building? And then a follow-up question to that would be, what has changed in terms of the proposal for the tunnel level use of the tunnel level space? I recall in the earlier plan there was quite a number of suggestions there as to how that space could be used, etc. But can you help us out on this?
Well, I think with respect to the question of when the systems and the distribution will be replaced, it will be replaced as part of the phases. Phase 2 East Wing occupants are relocated. We go in, we change the ductwork, we improve all of the distribution system, the controls. We put the air handling equipment in place in the southeast vault that supports that wing. So those are treated on a phase-by-phase basis in the area that's affected by the phase. It wouldn't all be complete until the end of the fourth phase.
So that would mean essentially then the tunnel level spaces would not be opened up for other uses or reuse of some meet some needs until the whole project, all phases were complete. Is that correct?
I think, Michael, would be incremental, would it not?
You'd get incremental in parts. With each wing, you'd get that part of the base of a
different vault.
You're talking about the existing building, lowest level.
Correct. Right.
Yes.
And that's also part of what Representative Wessler brought up, is what is the agreed program for some of those spaces? Based on the prior program, we had identified some options for that. If those change, those tenants change, then those options would also change.
Thank you. I assume that the north vaults are sized for the full completion of all four phases, correct?
Correct.
And so what if we didn't do the development of the south vault beyond this first phase? What if we decided then we've, in a sense, overbuilt the north vaults?
They're not sized for all the building. The building's split into four vaults and then some units up on the roof. So you would get a partial. The parts that go in the initial north vaults, you guys can pipe in, is we have room for two areas, but we're using all the other space in those vaults for other uses. So you would have those footprints for those areas go, where those new air handlers go, but they're not. It's not wasted in that sense for the whole building.
Yeah, the majority of the equipment that we put in the first phase will be tied back into existing systems. We get benefit now. the only thing we're not putting in the first phase of this air handler is because we can't tie those into the existing air handler system.
I'm glad to hear that that you feel the first phase is standalone. Even if we delayed doing further phases or didn't do any further work at all. But my concern then becomes, have we in fact overbuilt or spent more than we needed to do the North Vaults to prepare for expansion that may never come? And especially when we haven't been able to, if we don't do phases 2, 3, 4, then we've got a distribution system in the existing capital that is still going to be old and serve as a problem here. And this it seems to me just begs the question that we've been mentioning all along. One of the things I've been talking about is the need for a master plan here for the campus. And I hate to see us start going down a road with all these phases when we're not completely sure what we want to do with the development of these south vaults. At least I'm not sure, and I don't know to what extent other people may be sure about that at this point in time. And, I still think it illustrates the need for a master plan, and especially we haven't talked about the reuse of the Ford. The parking issue that Representative Holberg brought up, we don't have a real good solution in front of us on that. And so I have concerns about embarking on a phased approach here before we really have some kind of consensus or agreement as to ultimately where we want to end up. And that's what I think is lacking. Just a couple other questions, if I might, Madam Chair. One of my concerns at the outset was how this would change the appearance of the Capitol, the front door of the Capitol. And I don't know if you've done an elevation, but I'm curious as to what that would look like with the south stair development that's shown here. Maybe, Michael, if you could talk about the red box there, the north half of that. Oh, you do? Okay.
This is the same one you've seen before.
Has that changed with this plan?
No.
Okay.
No, the south stair, which here's Aurora Avenue, all of this area in here does not change at all. The only area you see any change is that area that south of the current Aurora Avenue, where we drop the grade for this Aurora Avenue and add those two entrances, and we add some lines. So essentially, do the sort of things. From this point to the building is unchanged from what it is today. So south of Aurora Avenue, down to where the grass level is now, up to the building. And I wanted to say something on the north vaults. The north vaults are not sized for expansion of the building. They're sized for the existing building. And in order to really reach the ultimate system in this building, which is secure fresh air, you need to come, I forget what it is security-wise, but it's 20 feet above grade for air intakes, significantly above grade. So the options, as we looked at to do that, are tower structures, four corners of the building, out in the landscape, a minimum 20 feet high where you bring in the outside air, or we bring it in from the roof. Roof seems to be the best because we won't have a visual impact and we're not building precious towers out in the landscape. But to do that, we've got to come all the way down through the building into the vaults, bringing fresh air and distribute it back up. That's fairly disruptive to the existing building. That's your ultimate best system. So the vaults on the north are sized to be able to begin to start that system. The south vaults, you could just build the vaults for the mechanical system and no space above it. Got that in play, and you can come back 20 years from now and build space on top of that for tenant space if you want or not at all. It doesn't make you have to do that. And you have years to make those decisions before those areas are built. So you in some ways have the ultimate flexibility of let's go through, let's make all those decisions, it's all set up so we can do it when we need to. But you do take, if I'm moving forward now, you take a height out of that escalation. At 60%, that's out for that last phase. You push out another couple of years, it goes up again.
So just if I might make sure I'm clearly understanding you, you're saying the north vaults are sized for the existing building, no expansion. But if we did the development on the south vault, you've got the, what do you call it, the usable, or you've got the basement area of that available to put in necessary mechanic.
Right. Yeah.
So we've got the cost.
We're using the south vault for the existing building as well, because we're doing different zones. So those south vaults are now sized for existing building, and then the units will accommodate expansion up on top. But expansion on top of the south vault is fairly insignificant compared to the rest of the building. So you have their size for expansion on top of it, or can easily handle the existing building. They would be used for the existing building.
So you are sizing the south vaults for future expansion?
It's so small. You can address what the units are, but it's so small compared to how the rest of the building is, are that it's part of the unit or is it a separate unit?
Well, we would still have units in the south wall. I don't understand the question.
We're trying to understand the phasing. For example, you're including the south stairs plan in phase one. Which vault provides the systems for south stairs?
The area underneath it would provide for that area. As a temporary measure to allow the vaults to make
it. So the area underneath is temporary, but it would be the south vaults that would provide the permanent energy to phase one.
It would provide permanent energy to phase one.
You've got south stairs plan in phase one.
Right. So the units that would be in the south vaults would help support phase one.
But it sounds also, like
they're primarily for the existing building.
Right. Yeah, I just got confused because they said phase one. South vault is not in phase one.
Correct. There's
the
area.
But they are the permanent energy storage for phase one.
South vaults are not.
You just said
the area underneath the south stair would serve that
as
area
temporary.
Above. Yes.
But you said temporary.
Correct.
Then I thought you said the south vaults would provide the permanent.
As you hook up to the wings, we would also hook that area back into those units. And then that area underneath the south stair could be useful square foot.
Sorry, I interrupted.
Yeah, you use the term that and this and whatever. Okay. I'm always worried about antecedents. So when you say that, and maybe you could say salt vault, south vault, whatever, it helps some clarification for me. When
we build that area that's a new visitor entrance and accessible entry area, it needs to be powered by air. It needs fresh air, heat, and cooling. Those would eventually be supplied out of the south vaults outside, but they're not being built in the first phase. So we can provide that underneath it in the area below, which isn't been programmed yet. So we can put some units in there, small units that just serve that area. Ultimately, you want to put those and serve those out of the other areas, and then you have that whole area underneath this program.
Representative Lyman, were you complete?
Just one follow-up to kind of try to bring this all into something that's simple. If I understand that the proposal could accommodate the future expansion, the state decides to do that down the road, decides to do phases 2, 3, 4, or some other scenario. My question really is, if we do phase one, how much are we adding to the cost of phase one to accommodate future growth when we haven't yet necessarily decided what we're going to do? That's what I'm trying to get at here.
Representative, I don't know that we've run a tape on that, but I can tell you from having gone through this, I think it's a relatively small deduct. If you told us today, reconstruct phase one on the assumption that no other phases occur, I think we would have to suggest that 63.9 would come down. Well, for example, there's $2 million in that 63.9 for the design decision for swing space. Well, I wouldn't need swing space if I didn't build phase 2 through 4, so I can immediately take that off. But there are probably others, but my guess is they're not going to be in million-dollar chunks. It's going to be a relatively small amount.
And some of us thought that that's what we had asked you for at the last meeting, that we hadn't anticipated still a whole package of 4 phases. So that's why I think there continues to be some confusion. Senator Roebling.
Chair, and some of the questions I had were already addressed, especially the parking issue. But I'm wondering about how this is going to work. It looks like we will have construction in front of our building for 8 years under the plan as proposed, because first we would have work in the under the stairs, and then we would have work to the right of the building as we put in one south vault, and then we'd have work to the left. And then I even noticed that visitor tunnel there is phase 3, which means we'd be digging up again. And I'm just thinking 8 years of having the front of our capital torn up just seems like a really long time, and I'm wondering if there's any plan on how to address that, and is that practical? I mean, are we going to landscape and then tear it out again, or what's going to happen?
There with more phases, there's more construction. The idea, is that the first phase comes in and does most of the site work. So realigns Aurora Avenue down, puts in the access to the building. This is where the area of construction will be in future phases. So you can fence that part off and minimize the amount of disruption. All of this other work that went in is fine. It's in place. It wouldn't have to be disrupting. And then you come over here on that side as well. Would it be better to do it all at once? It's less disruption. But I think that when you go by phases, we've tried to look at ways that it just happens in this area and minimizes the amount of site disruption. Still be able to use Aurora Avenue, still have access into the building by the prior phases.
What about this tunnel, this visitor tunnel that would be a part of phase 3 when the other part is all in phase 2?
It's part of phase 2 and part of this tunnel happens with this phase. So as you dig this up, this is built as part of this construction, and then that connection is built as part of that one. So in the intermediate, you'll have this where you go come into here and go into the building and you're into the existing tunnel system. So until both of these phases go, you wouldn't have this tunnel completely south of the building.
So it would be open after phase 3?
Yeah, with each phase, you have incremental parts of it.
Everything I was going to ask about is if you put the vaults down two stories, so to speak, but we're not putting all of the equipment in, how have you considered access to those vaults to get that big equipment in there?
If those vaults go in, you are working on that on the corresponding wing. So then the units would go in there. On the north side, we leave a paving part. All of them, you need to have something where in the future you can come in, open it up, drop it in, and close it up again. But on the south ones, they would go in as they're constructed. But we would provide access in the future for taking those out.
Without taking out any floors above it. Because once that's done, we wouldn't want to disrupt that again. Right. And in 50 right. years, when everything right. has to be replaced.
Exactly. Yep.
You have accommodated for that.
Ms. Compton?
Madam Chair? I just have a couple things to clarify. One is on the humidity mitigation that you spoke about, and certainly the new roof and the work on the dome is going to help with that, but it's a 100-year-old problem that has been appearing and reappearing. And my question is specifically on the trip distribution system in 211. What is going to change on the third floor ceiling that is in the process of being restored now to control the airflow, to be sure that the heat is not and humidity that is ventilated and doesn't continue to deteriorate the plaster that's up there? Is it going to have any impact in 2011 or not?
We would in terms of the mitigation at the beginning, we would have to do that with other systems other than the main that's down at the ball. But we would do it and then put the infrastructure in so that we would connect that infrastructure with the new system. So we would turn that out. Yeah. But that would have to be done with some other systems, possibly up in the roof and portion.
So at the end of phase one, it would have no, there'd be no, it would not be accomplished in phase one to control the airflow on the third floor? Yeah,
yeah, I think we're planning to do the phase
one. You are?
Yeah, that whole moisture penetration of the building inside and outside is something we feel should be addressed in that first phase.
Further questions?
I have a question on that. Spring space that's not developed. The first comment that comes to mind, if this comes to be, that would be a very excellent space to use for lockdown area for the hundreds of visitors that come, and some training with campus security and the idea of a lockdown and the hundreds of visitors who come to the Capitol. Gives me goosebumps to try and think of where they would go, because there certainly wouldn't be space for them to be locked down in any place else. Would that be accessible for a use such as that? After phase one is done?
Yes.
Was that your? Ms. Imdekny? I'm sorry.
Joan Wilshire.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I saw the name tag. Well, I just didn't remember that.
I'll go by Margo. Anyway, just a few questions here regarding, you know, certainly we're aware of LRT going on to university, and LRT is certainly one of the best accessible transportation modes for seniors and people with disabilities, so we can't wait until it gets to this end of the world. However, I guess I'm a little concerned with the distance. And Michael, if you might just, for my own clarification, so say I'm coming off the light rail, access is only in the south entrance, or will you still be able to get in the by the north end?
Yeah, it would be that you'd be able to access the tunnel from that light rail. Okay. That would get you into the whole.
So that, okay, because that we're always looking at distance, you know, folks that don't use wheels and walk, and et cetera, that we want to make sure that that'll be available. So you don't think that'll be an issue then?
Well, what they've been able to do is move that station a block closer. So I think it's as close to the Capitol as it can possibly be, which has been good. And it's also on that side, the south side of the street, so that it'll give you access as close. It's close. Possible at
this point. Okay. And what Representative Loeffler had mentioned about access, you know, it looks like we're doing access in all the phases. And certainly we would, at the disability community, would love to see that access be done immediately just from the compliance end of it. However, we need to be reasonable and realize that with funds, not everything can be done. But I think with that in mind, that we just would want to make sure that there's reassurance with phases, one phase or how many phases, whatever the end result may be, that the accessibility features are a must be put in, whether you're phasing them in or whatever the plan ends at some point. But we need to continue to move forward so that the Capitol is in compliance. So that we do want to make sure that that's at the top of everybody's radar. And back to the parking issue, I concur with almost everyone here that is brought up the parking issue. I think that's going to be a huge concern for all of us, whether you're working here, coming here as a visitor. I think it's something that we really need not overlook.
Senator Verlangs.
Well, my statements are more general in nature, but originally I think the majority of the people on the Senate side wanted to go with your original plan. I think for two reasons. One, we didn't want disruption over any longer period of time than necessary, and also we understood the inflation factor. The inflation that's been talked about is really a microcosm of the entire bonding bill. The revenues to the state, which the 3% cap is tied to, is not going up anywhere near as fast percentage-wise as building costs are going up. So So every time we have a bonding bill, it gets smaller than it was before. And we've never been allowed to get to the 3% even. But I would say that come January, the governor will have to have a proposal in his bill, and the House and the Senate will have to have some agreement as to how we proceed. I would reluctantly go along with your four phases simply because it does work, and it doesn't look like we're going to be able to do your original plan. But this will not pass the next session unless the three entities are together on it. And I'm not going to go along anymore with the governor not putting it in, then telling people he'll support it, and then vetoing a bill. I mean, we have to be together on this, and it looks like this is the fallback plan. Maybe there could be a few things that we could change in it. I don't know, but I think at some point we got to get together, the governor and the two houses, and move with it. Otherwise, it's not going to happen next session. I'm not going to go along with it.
And I will just make some concluding remarks because we had hoped to close at noon. Mine are also more comments. One is more probably directed to the Met Council than to you, although I was hearing it from you for the first time. This issue of three LRT stops at the Capitol, which they seem to be agreeing with, all of the people that we represent along University Avenue who live and work all along the corridor are trying desperately for stops. But many of those stops are going to be now scheduled for just every mile. And the reason the Met Council is limiting those stops is every stop costs money, and every stop expands the amount of time it takes to get from one downtown to another. And when I heard this morning there are three right around the Capitol, I will say that was a bit of a surprise to me. I also asked the question about the cost, because the tunnel at the university, which has nothing to do with the Central Corridor and LRT, but for their preference for how it impacts their campus, remind me of this. And that cost, which is somewhere around $200 million on the university campus, is considered part of the Central Corridor. That's a big problem, because the overall cost of the Central Corridor is supposed to be brought down. So when I hear the plans around the Capitol, I wonder, how much will that add to the cost of the corridor? You heard some confusion, I think, from House members. And so some of what I'm reflecting is not only from the House members on this committee, but others on capital investment. We shared with them before today the four phases. And there was confusion about naming it phase one, because we thought we were asking for an alternative that was pared down. But when you name that alternative phase one and then put three more phases on the same page, it looks like from day one we are talking about a much bigger project. And just quickly, three of those responses. I do not know who all is on the working group, but as I remember from the main committee, the direction was to challenge the program, what, where, how big, as opposed to the phasing of the program that is being presented. Am I wrong, or was there a change in direction to lock down the original program and look at implementation only? Another focuses on that $308 million and suggests, again, because we have no master plan, we could build two new state office buildings, relocate all legislative offices, Senate and House, and revamp the SOB for capital employee relocation. We could revamp the Ford building for Senate offices building along with HVAC, roof, and exterior repair to the Capitol and have money left over for other pressing needs. I am not convinced by this or previous proposals at this time. Another agrees with those sentiments and says, it appears to me that the Capitol Restoration Group has simply given us four phases of their intended goal, rather than choices for decision makers who may not agree with committing money for the total project. And adds, it reminds me of the U of M Bioscience building project that would tie our hands for many years to come. Why do members of the Capital Investment Committee have these concerns? We've just finished our tours of the whole state of Minnesota. We've got a few little metro things to finish up. And we saw all of those demands all around the state, all of which are affected by inflation factors. And they are in key areas for our economy, like college and university campuses, like clean water infrastructure, like transportation, all of which develop the economic health of the state and provide opportunities for doing ongoing needs. The continued concern about looking at this building in isolation of the campus has so many questions for us, because there is a whole campus need and we don't have a master plan to know what that is. We know how much we would be committing for this building for 10 years, but what about all of the other campus buildings, MnDOT building being one of them? We know the governor's residence has needs that they may even be coming to us with this legislative session. But without any sort of master plan, we don't know the context in which we're looking at this. The continued confusion about conversation that suggests capturing found space when it appears to us we haven't fully utilized, or at least don't have a plan for, all the current space on campus. Because when you find space, you do need also to fill it, and that adds to the cost. There was confusion for some that the South Stairs plan was in phase one, because at the last meeting I thought we were trying to focus on what if we just do the external vault? What does that mean? But it appears the South Stairs plan is more tied to future plans. The objectives outlined on the last page, which you indicated you hoped you met, I think all of us might have hoped they were all contained in one freestanding proposal. Instead, what we have now is not a plan of three phases over 6 years, but four phases over 10 years, and not $260 million, but somewhere between $300 and $400 million. So the questions for some of us have decreased. For those of us who live and work in another building on campus, as we've tried to raise some of the issues about how do we make this whole campus work together, we have felt some frustration, and I'll use one as an example. I see that one press person who is here left, but we talked about, shouldn't we have a single press room on campus? And 181 is well established for that purpose. And could that be the press room, and could the press corps be moved from the basement of the Capitol to the first floor of the state office building when and if the senators move to the Capitol? And the response that we're met with when we talk about an idea like that is, they're not going to like that. The idea that everybody now living and working in the Capitol, were they to be moved to another building, that is somehow inconvenient. For you can see how those of us in the House view that, I think, with some confusion and frustration. This was the hope of this was that it was a facilitated process to try to bring sides together. And I think the response to the four phases presented, if anything, just highlight the gap that is there. But I think Senator Langseth has framed for us, above all of those, what is our biggest obstacle right now. And what I would suggest as closure for today is that we, in fact, wait for the governor's bonding bill when that comes out to see what, as the Department of Administration works with the governor, what starting point there is in the governor's bill.
Oh, I don't want to interrupt right there. Well, I think going back to your earlier comments about options and not having any options, if we wait for the governor's bonding bill and all that the governor has to choose from, is the four phases or the old plan with no meaningful discussion on can we build another legislative office building for $100 million and, you know, cut down the cost of the, for lack of a better term, the renovation type only thing for the Capitol. And I mean, for us to stop now, I agree that we really didn't get any broadening of options, only phasing and some minor adjustments. So for, I don't know that to stop now positions the legislature very well to make a decision if the governor is going to put money. I mean, if we knew for sure the governor wasn't going to fund anything or, you know, only minimal, then I probably would agree with you. But, I mean, if the governor comes through with whatever the first phase is, $65 million, I think you still have the tension on whether or not $310 million over 10 years to do all of this is the right way to spend the money, or should we look at a building, a legislative office building, and then doing minimal renovation and repair to the Capitol itself. That's a question I've never got my arms.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just going to say I think a big part of our problem here is that this whole thing, we're mixing restoration and upgrading systems with new space, new programming space. And it's on the new programming space that we have yet to achieve a consensus. And as long as we mix the two, I think we're going to be frustrated and we're going to spin our wheels. I was looking at this again. And what would be helpful in this kind of analysis is to identify in each case how much of the cost is directly related to new space. Even in phase one, we've got new space here, new program space, that would be a part of that cost. And in each one of the phases, we've got that. And, you know, I think if we could sort that out and where we need more work is where do we need the new space and how do we meet our space needs? And as long as we combine that with restoration and upgrading systems, we're going to be frustrated, I think. That's my sense.
Well, yes.
Madam Chair, I just think that Maury, in many ways, has summarized. I think there has been no doubt in every citizen group that I have that goes through the Capitol system, when are you going to fix that leaky roof? I just had a survivor of the 35W bridge explain to me how difficult accessibility was for her as a new person in a wheelchair. And so, I mean, I do think there are certain areas of common ground, and I think a lot of that fair space deals with that. I think fixing our leaky roof is there. The security issues of our air intakes and those sorts of things are definitely there. I think we need, what we have tiptoed around and have not spent time on, quite honestly, is that master plan dealing with the tough issues of what is our vision, and it seems even more critical for me, for us to do it as a House Senate now than any other time because of the impact of LRT and how decisions that are going to be made over the next few months are going to close off opportunities that we're going to wish we had creatively confronted. Because once LRT is there, it is there. And now it seems like the time for us to do that. And I think part of the problem, quite honestly, has been in this process is that when you just delegate it to staff to think about things and legislators and others who use it aren't involved in the discussion, then there's always this a little bit of a tension point, too. And I know administration is doing creatively, it sounds like, you know, anticipating LRT and what to do with it as they're discussing it. But, you know, I think bringing in a vision of the master plan in partnership with administration could help us not only in terms of figuring out the use program space of the Capitol, but also what do we see as that North Campus plan. And it says in this phase one that looking at the issue of swing space is to be dealt with in phase one. That brings into account, you know, the Ford building, whether or not you use, you know, the unprogrammed space. I think we were appointed to deal with those issues, and I think we ought to have some meetings in the future that really focus on that, wrestling with the tough decisions.
Well, what I am going to suggest is that Senator Langseth and I have conversations with committee members and to see if we can shape an additional agenda. I think we don't see it today, but I think with some additional conversation we may. So for today, we've probably exhausted our patience and energy, so unless I see any other hands, for today, the meeting is adjourned.
Yeah, I'm going to hang up now.
Boy, I don't. I didn't even have. Hang on.
Thank you. Lori, I'm going to hang up now.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
You know, what's fascinating to me, first of all, I guess it's just part of a rhetorical question. They are stupid as they are. I mean, intellectually incapable of. Okay. So, I mean, but that's helpful. I mean, you know.
Yes.